so, well, I don't need any introduction either. I was here before, but I do want to say that that these men so far have said some tremendous things about the Lord and the Scriptures. Very very deep, tremendous things were spoken as concerning the truth and the Son of God and glory. What I'm going to do is, you know, of course, a lot of scriptures that I had were gone over already, like Pete said about Ronnie. So Ronnie told me just to say whatever they said, amen, and sit down. Whatever they said, and sit down. But what I'm going to do is, and Dave's lesson yesterday, I mean, he covered a massive amount of scripture in one 50-minute lesson. And these guys today, Ronnie and Pete, said there are a couple things that I wrote down that were very interesting, very powerful truths about our living God and what's to come and who we are in Him and who He is. What we understand in the flesh and what we don't understand in the flesh. And I was talking to Pete about, you know, the things that we don't understand. Why is it that the Lord doesn't explain some of these things more fully? Because He knows that we're curious about such things, and we can't understand them in our limited capacity. So we have to trust in Him and have faith in Him, as has been mentioned, you know, throughout this conference. And as a matter of fact, this conference is an awesome one.
Amen.
It just really is. With what's being said in this room here about the Word of God is eternally fantastic. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, and in a whisk of time, we won't be here anymore. And so what the knowledge that's been shared in this room, in this state, in this country at this time is fabulously eternal. It is. And so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to share some scriptures. I know that we were supposed to concentrate on Ephesians 1:17, and just bear with me if how everything goes with my talk with what's already been said. But I thought, well, I'm going to take a little bit of a tangent lesson as far as the Father of Glory, and I'm going to discuss light. The light and darkness. And how does this apply with what's been said already? Well, how this applies is how this knowledge of what has been said already by these awesome guys, how this knowledge is being accepted in the world by darkness. And of course, I'll just read some scriptures. And this lesson will unfold itself through the scriptures. And the lesson is darkness and the light. Okay, and so once I mention that, that should bring to mind some truths you already know. I said this yesterday, that God is not in the business of taking something from us at all as a payment in serving Him. Think about it. We serve the living God. Oh, really? What does He want you to do? If you've ever thought about that, what does He want us to do for the next number of years of our lives? Well, we're supposed to glorify Him, learn of His calling, walk in the knowledge of Him, and we're supposed to increase in the knowledge of Him and share this with others as being His, if I can say, His ambassadors of truth, if you would. And so He's in the business of giving things to us. And do we deserve any of it? No, as Pete said, we don't deserve any of what He's given to us or will give to us. And so He's in the business of giving us life and reward through what He's done for us. It's interesting to follow the subject of light and darkness through the scriptures. It most assuredly brings us to at least one aspect of the glory of God. And if we turn to 1 John, all right, so I'm going to be talking about darkness and the light. All right? And I'm just going to let a number of scriptures speak for themselves. These might not be things that you don't know already. So I might not be setting foundational, fantastic strongholds in this message. Nevertheless, I believe the truth involved here is great. 1 John 1, 1 through 5. Personally speaking, I believe that that 1 John 1 through 5 is some of the most awesome scriptures ever written. And you could say, oh, what are you talking about, Mike? You're about the dispensation of the mystery, and you're going back to an Acts period epistle, and you're saying that this scripture is phenomenally some of the most awesome. Yeah, listen to it. All right? We're talking about the express image of the Father that these guys were talking about. All right? Now listen to this. That which was from the beginning, kind of brings us back to the Gospel of John 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hand, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Here is John, the Apostle John, knowing who he is seeing and who he is handling. All right, so I want you to get the impact of his words through the Holy Spirit. He was handling the word of life. He's seen him. He's touched him. All right? We haven't done that other than in the scriptures. So I think the Apostle John knew who this one was before him. All right? And as these men have spoken these past number of hours, it gives us the aspect of who the Lord is, was, and is. I mean, he was God in the flesh walking. And yet, what he dealt with men, women, Pharisees, it seems far beneath him at times. Because he was God in the flesh. And so, I believe that our viewpoint of him is one that is greater than, through the scriptures, that is, than those that were amongst him. Because as he walked, he was judged as a man. He was judged as a man, but like some people knew him as God. All right, so sometimes what happens to me in my mind when I'm studying the scriptures is I am amazed at how God in the flesh was judged by men and how he allowed them to do so. Yeah. How he allowed them to do so. And who he was, looking back at what these men have already spoken of as far as his glory and where he came from. And then he walked, he was actually the embodied Shekinah glory in the flesh, I believe. Just in a different power. I've been giving studies about the Shekinah glory for a number of Tuesdays now. Amen. And what it was, how it was tracked through the Old Testament, and how it's tracked into the New Testament. All right? Now, the Shekinah glory in the temple, you know, here I'm going off on a tangent now, which Winchester said I would do. But the Shekinah, but this all has to do with the glory of God. The Shekinah glory tracked through the Old Testament was unapproachable. But yet, when it's tracked into the New Testament, it's tracked in the Son, initially. He was the walking embodiment of the Shekinah glory. And he raised the dead with power. He healed the sick with power. Now, that power that emanated from him, it was not unapproachable. It was a power that didn't, I suppose I'm saying to you that the Shekinah glory that existed that was unapproachable in the Old Testament existed in the Son. Yet, it was approachable. I believe. And this power that came from the power of God was actual. And it wasn't something that people couldn't view. He raised the dead and that was right in front of them. So what is that power? If you're talking about the power of God, How do you explain that power that was approachable, that could raise the dead? As if you set it juxtaposition or side by side with the power that was in the tabernacle, that wasn't approachable. Does that make any sense to you? Does it make sense to you? All right. Then we have the glory of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. How do you explain that? All right. If I'm right, and the Shekinah glory is now working in God, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, well, that's interesting to think about, isn't it? Because we're sinful creatures, right? So does one guy asked, and this is totally out of my lesson, but now that I'm rambling, why not? Right? But how does a sinless God dwell in a sinner? Is the Holy Spirit on that light, or is he in me? All right? That's been debated in these circles, whether God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us, or if he dwells outside of us. Well, I certainly believe he dwells within us. The new man, created in true holiness, all right? So I believe the Shekinah glory that was unapproachable is tracked into the Son that was approachable and into us through God, the Holy Spirit. All right, now, you could say, well, that's way out there. Fine, you can say that to me if you like. You know, but this power and this glory has to be explained by the Scriptures if you're going to deal with truth. Well, you know, I don't know why I went there, but I did. Now, we go on with 1 John 2. For the light was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. Okay, this is bigger than meets the eye at first. The light was manifested before them that was with the Father. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him, and declare unto you. And this is starting to get to my point. That God is light, and in him is no darkness. All right? Now, you can take that. God is light, and if I get through my message, which I don't know if I will, you'll find, and I'm going to say this ahead of time, you'll find that our inheritance is in the light. All right? It's in the light. God has no darkness within him. He is light. He is glory. And he never had any darkness within him. Well, where did darkness come from? Did he create it? All right, so this goes back to the message that Dave was giving, all the way back to Genesis 1:1. All right, so let's go back there. All right, you'd say, yeah, well, we've read this 100 times. Well, you're going to read it again. All right, so let's get with it, okay? Don't be shirkers. You know, don't be shirkers. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Was it, and the earth became wild and waste, is what it should say. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. We can stop right well. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, or be light, as Pete said. All right, so, if we call this the gap, men call this the gap theory. And a real bad thing happens to my guts when I hear that. There are no theories with the Scriptures whatsoever. There is no gap theory at all. There is a reality that is occurring here that is big to understand. When it deals with darkness and the light. Because God cannot create or dwell within any darkness, there is no darkness in Him. So how is it that an earth that was created a perfect jewel in the beginning, and no doubt will be brought back to a perfect jewel with the new Jerusalem and the new heavens and the new earth, how is it that darkness is found there? Well, you're talking about the gap theory? No, I'm talking about the power of darkness. We're talking about serious business here. No theory. We're talking about the warfare of the ages. In the first sentence in the first book of the scriptures, well, if you take Job out of the picture, we're talking about between two sentences of the scriptures, the war of the ages and what everything is all about. The light and the darkness. And you can follow this fact from this point all the way to the mystery. Do you know that? So that's what I'm attempting to put forth and add to what these great men have already said. That there is no darkness in our God. He is light. He is glory. All right? And He's about manifesting us there eventually in time or out of time. And so, we know that the earth initially wasn't created wild and waste. And we know that darkness was upon the face of the deep. So our universe came to a crushing pollution because of the fall of the most perfect created being. That's the fact. Why did this all have to happen? Well, it did. You can sit back and say, why do things have to be like this? Why does this planet have to be like this? Why do we have to deal with the evil one? Why is it that the Son of God had to die at the hands of satanic men? You can ask why. The fact of it is, and my friends here from the South are good at it, hey, it is. It's happening. This is what it is. You deal with it. Because it's what's true. And it's the way of understanding life on the planet, life in the universe, and understanding the living God and your place with Him. Without this, you are kind of deranged. You have no clue of your life, what it's about. Seriously, we are not given the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. You cannot have a sound mind without God the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That's a matter of fact. Okay, so we notice that mankind was created, Adam. He was created to live forever, I believe. If he ate of the tree of life, right? Not only do I believe that to be actual, I believe that to be figurative too. That is to say, he might have eaten sustenance for his body, but he had to be obedient to the God of light in order for him to sustain his everlasting life. And then from him, a woman was taken, and then, of course, we know that they fell because of disobedience and because of the Shining One, because He is a destroyer. And so we have this conflict between light and darkness happening that occurred countless hundreds and thousands of years ago, even before before time? Did the evil one, the evil one fell many, many thousands, millions of years before the earth was recreated, and was, when the spiritual creation was created, was there time? Could be a question we could ask ourselves. When the original earth was created and then fell, was time reckoned? was their time. Well, then we get with these geologists, and they say the Earth is this many millions of years old, and we know that mankind has only been here for 6,000 years. Do you believe it? I mean, seriously. Mankind has only been on the planet for 6,000 years, and in 2347, there was a worldwide flood that wiped out almost the entire planet. Do you believe it? I mean, that's only a short 4,300 years ago, 2347. Yeah, that's only 4,300 years ago. Do you believe it? Do you believe standing right here that this was deluged, overthrown with water to heights, possibly, worldwide? I mean, you can say that, you can think it, but do you believe it when you walk about? I think it when I walk about. And then when I walk about, I think, well, constructions and rock formations we see were at the bottom of an ocean for a while. So all the weirdness, all the weird structures and stuff, that can be answered by pounds per square inch of water rolling over them 4,300 years ago. That's an explanation that maybe is thrown out a lot. But as far as the scriptures are concerned, let's just say this is all you have, the Word of God. Well, we'd be a lot better off, probably. Okay, so we know that originally man fell, and so from that point on, we have a battle that's occurring throughout the ages, the battle of the forces of darkness and the truth of the light. This has been raging on for about 6,000 years, and we're set on this stage. In the universe. This is a theater of the universe right now. That's a fact of what it is. And mankind is set on this stage, and they are set amongst this battle, and it's a matter of what they choose. And you could say, well, this is pretty basic, Mike, but it has to do with the light, and it has to do with the darkness. And it can be traced out all the way through our calling. When it comes to the revealing of the truth of the mystery, that truth was untraceable in the scriptures and hidden in the mind of God, the Most High, from any being that ever existed and from any spiritual being that ever existed. And it talks about an inheritance in the light, and we're going to be looking at that a little bit. During the Acts period, I'm going to read a little bit about how the Holy Spirit was working during the Acts period in concern with light and darkness. We turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter 1. All right, I just want to track the light and the darkness. That's what I'm doing. Just to add to what's been said already. 1 Peter 1. 18 through 21. For as much as we know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days, are these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And turn to John 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, basic material, but we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And you know, we can walk in this. We can walk in this personally as we live. Because if we bring all of our deeds and all of our ways into the light, they are reproved. And we're convicted, and then we walk accordingly to that. You know, we say walking worthy. Walking worthy. Well, all things that aren't worthy of his walk are made apparent by the light. And so we walk in a world that doesn't want their deeds to be approved by that light. And so basically mankind doesn't want to approach God because their very being and their very minds would be reproved. And they want to hide themselves from that. So we have this God of glory and we have this God of light that we serve. And we have moved into that light through believing in him. So, let's turn to 1 Peter 2. I hope this makes sense to you. I'm attracting darkness and light through the scriptures. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 9. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, this same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, this is spoken of during the Acts, and a holy nation, a particular people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Now, we are to walk as children, according to Ephesians 4 or 5, as children of light. Have you ever thought of yourself as walking as a child of light? You are an adopted son. Women also, by the way. Women are adopted sons of God. And that carries with it an extreme responsibility. Do you know that? Yes, it does. I hammer my call letters over the email as huiothesion. Because I think, at least to a point, that I understand what being a called son of God is. It carries with it a tremendous responsibility. Yet, with that responsibility and with the calling that we have, we are supposed to walk innocently as children of light. Because if you wonder why it is in Ephesians 4 or 5, wherever that might be, that we're supposed to walk as children of light and not as sons of light, I think that the Holy Spirit is pointing us to innocence. I think that that with this tremendous knowledge, we're supposed to walk as innocent individuals, reproved by the light. And we're not supposed to be brawlers. We're supposed to be meek unto all. Isn't that true? I don't like that. I don't personally like that direction, that I'm supposed to be meek and unto all men, because men are nasty. Some human beings are nasty people. Yet we're supposed to walk as the Lord did, the one who didn't open up his mouth when he was reviled, God himself in the flesh. And so there's a lot of understanding to be had when we walk as children of light. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And I'm just making a point. The God of light and the darkness we walk in. The choice of us. The father of darkness, we know, is a murderer. We know that he is the father of lies. And we know that he is the author of the power of death. And we know that the God we serve is the giver of true light, life. He is the truth. And he is the conqueror over the power of death. And as far as light and darkness is concerned, sin is absolutely terrible. As I live, I've said this before, that I am realizing how terrible the power of sin and death is. If in fact I stand here at almost 60 years old, feeling certain things, knowing I might have 30 years left, maybe, or something like that, and then I'm going to perish. But yet I was initially created in Adam not to perish at all. Think about it. Think about the state that we're in. I mean, and what this brings to mind is this brings to mind the power of darkness and death, what it is, and how terrible it is. And that the God of light came down in a human form, as we've heard, and destroyed that power. And much less, we move on. 4:1-6. I have 13 minutes. Sorry. I hope that dang clock. I hope that this is making sense to you. But I'm going to bring it in the next 10 minutes to our calling. All right? To our calling in the light. I really wanted to make that point. But 4:2, I have to read that. And it states, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our good message, that's what a gospel is, there's many gospels in the scriptures, not one. Oh, do you believe the gospel? Which one? Okay, that's important to remember, because there's many good messages, not just one. Are you a gospel-believing church? Which one? If you encounter that. But if our good message is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious good message of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we could read John 1, talking about the Son of God and the glory that he had, which Pete already pointed that out really well, and Ron and Dave. And so we know about the glory of the Son of God and what he gave up and what he came to do. But let's turn to our calling for a few minutes. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. And what I'd like to do is point this out in this talk of darkness and the light. I believe that I could probably talk about this subject through the scriptures for many days. And so what I maybe feebly tried to cover is the beginning of darkness and what light and who God is. He is light. That's what the scriptures say. And so moving on to one of the last books written by the Holy Spirit, we find this, 1 Timothy 6:11-16. And it states, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I charge thee, in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, which no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And then let's turn to 2 Timothy 1. Okay, so we know that only Christ has immortality. Grandma isn't looking from the heavens down at how bad you are doing in school and how naughty you've been. And, you know, Uncle Larry isn't up there looking down at his funeral upon us. And no, they're in the grave. And if they're not believers, they've perished. That's the matter of fact. Why people don't want to believe that is they like to make fanciful things out of truth. Mankind has been doing it ever since the fall of man, right?
Amen.
Amen. And so 1 Timothy, I just want to point out something to you about this light. Okay, I want to point out something to you. And this, again, I've just touched on who God is, what God is, and what he's done, what we're up against on this planet in darkness, who the father of that darkness is, and we know that. The fact of the matter is it's serious business, and it continues to be serious business every minute of our lives until we're out of here. It's very serious business. This is truth. This is life, what is being talked about in this room this weekend. This is truth. This is true life, not the business going on outside these doors, you know, even though we have to deal with it. You know, so we should keep these things in mind. 1 Timothy 1:7-10. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 2 Timothy 1:7-10. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 1:7-10. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the good message of the mystery, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in us, in Christ Jesus, pardon me, before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the good message. So not only is God light, but he's brought the message of immortality to light. God is light. And so let's turn to Colossians 1:9-13. And our inheritance is, I want to make this point, and I hope that this wasn't too non-flowing, because as Dave did, I've basically covered a lot of ground in the scriptures. All right. Well, one point I want to make is, one point I did make is that God is light. We're battling against darkness. That's what's happening on this planet. It's the theater of the universe. It's what principalities and powers are viewing. It's what God himself came in the flesh to destroy. And yet, then we have this mystery that was spoken of by the Apostle Paul, hidden God, from all generations, from mankind, hidden from mankind for 6,000 years, all right? Hidden from principalities and powers for billions of possible years, yet it was made manifest through the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, and it talks about an inheritance in the light. And so one point I want to make very strongly is that not only do we walk in light, but our inheritance is in the light. We know that Christ dwells in a light that no man has approached or seen. Yet the church, which is Christ's body, has a calling in the light. And so I believe our calling is in that unapproachable light. And if I haven't said anything, that seconds there is my point, is that not only is God light, but now through this mystery that was never known, that was revealed and hidden, God, think about it, from all mankind, from all spiritual beings, throughout history of the universe and before. I mean, what are we dealing with? Sometimes we aren't fully aware of what we're totally dealing with here. But the fact of the matter is that we have an inheritance in the light. And I'm going to, this kind of backs up what, and I can end with this, this kind of backs up what my Greek study was about in talking about the Holy of Holies. Because, how can you put this into words? The Almighty God didn't hide a message from all the creation, and it's a simple thing, or it is a light thing, or that it is something that isn't, I don't know what the words are, incredibly awesome, or stunning, or astounding. This was a secret that he revealed after his nation chosen on earth was put away. Think about it. I mean, really. And so, this secret revealed is monumental. It's monumental in the plan of God who is light. All right? And so we read, and I just want to make this impact on you. This is my study in a nutshell. God is light. And your inheritance, I believe the scriptures state, is in that unapproachable light. And am I trying to produce a feeling in you? No. I'm just revealing what is true. And so, I also believe that principalities and powers witnessing such truth, I think that the evil one is extremely upset with us. Because as was said before, and I'm going to state again, is I think that we have an inheritance in what he coveted. I will be as God. I will be as the Father of lights. Right? I will be as now a human being, feeble, destined for death, has the opportunity to have an inheritance in what he coveted. That is the monumentalness of this inheritance in the light. And so I'll read that and end with that, even on time. 50 seconds to go. Bob will be overjoyed, you know, but this is a big study. And all I thought, I might go 2 minutes over, all I thought in myself is, well, you know, I've been talking about the Shekinah glory for weeks in this study, and I'm gonna do a tangent study. God is light, you know, light and darkness. So I hope that, as all the other men have said, I hope you got something out of this, but you can take this study and you can really run with it personally. You can, through the scriptures, okay? The point of it is, Christ dwells in an unapproachable light, never seen by men. And if we read Colossians 1, 9 through 13, we read this. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, Do I not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of God, of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Now, as the men before me have stated, these phrases of truth are heavy, are pregnant with deep knowledge of God. And you have the apostle, Paul, that's yearning for people to understand this. So when he prays that we should be increasing in the knowledge of God and that we would have the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that is very serious and heavy prayer for us. I mean, seriously. I mean, seriously, if we just focus down, if we just get rid of everything around us and focus down to what we've been given in the Lord and think about it. Think about Paul praying for and shut out everything that could confuse or boggle our minds from what we've been given in the Lord. That's how he's praying. All right? And these things are way and beyond fleshly things. Right? I mean, seriously, I don't have to tell you folks. I'm just trying to explain how I think the Apostle Paul felt when he's praying these things. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And here it is, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit, meet, to be partakers of the inheritance in the Holy of Holies, in the light. That's what I truly, truly believe that scripture through the Greek states. So we have an inheritance in the Holy of Holies, in the light. The Son of God dwells in this light, in this unapproachable light. And God is light, and we have an inheritance in that light. And I believe that is part of what this hidden mystery is all about. If you can try to filter that through your minds. The hidden mystery of God, the dispensation of the mystery that all of a sudden was revealed. If you track the knowledge of God through the scriptures, through time, even with the fall of Lucifer, and think about how God is working, and this fall. Unfortunately, we're in a battle. Why it has to be, it is. And this foe that fell, why he had to fall, he did. Because of disobedience, and because of pride, and because of love of self. And so his spirit is being promoted into your world now. And once God has had enough with it, he's going to end it. And it's coming soon. But the love of self in man is just seen from the power of the evil one loving himself. And he chose his own way. And so this battle has been going on for ages now. But we have an inheritance in the light. And that's part of this revealed sacred secret. And God is light, and in him is no darkness. And I thank you. I hope that it made sense to you. Okay?